KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Our in-depth guests tonight are Ron Brister and Mikey Nielsen of Rose City Comic Con. Ron's the founder and director, Mikey's the programming director, and Rose City Comic Con, well, that just happens to be one of the biggest pop culture events in the Pacific Northwest. Now in its eighth year, Rose City Comic Con's primary focus is on comics and comic creators, and Portland's blessed to be a hotbed of both. But the event also includes gaming, sci-fi, cosplay, anime, and fantasy, and features celebrity guests from the world of movies, animation, TV, books, and art. Rose City Comic Con takes place this year from Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at the Oregon Convention Center, and we're fortunate to have Ron and Mikey live with us now in the KBOO studios to give us a preview. Ron Brister and Mikey Nielsen, thanks so much for coming into KBOO. Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Yeah. Ron, let's start with you. You started Rose City Comic Con. The first one was back in 2012, and from what I've read, we have your son to thank for all this. He was about 11 at the time.
Yeah, I think he was 10 or 11, and we were at San Diego, in San Diego, for San Diego Comic-Con.
Which is huge, right?
Massive. More massive than it was then, even, as a matter of fact.
150,000 people, I think.
Something ridiculous like that. Yeah. And on our drive home, you know, he asked a simple question, because we'd gone to Emerald City, we'd gone to all these other events, and he said, how come we don't have a Comic-Con in Portland? And I said, I don't know, I have 21 hours to think about it. So as I drove home, I formulated just a maniacal plan in my head, I guess, and the rest is history. Here we are.
Now, you were a fan of comics, of course. You were at Comic-Con in San Diego, but your day job was in high tech. Yep. How did you start putting all this together? Was that something going through your head during those 21 hours on the way home?
You know, I think that I knew that I needed to do something creative because I was so massively bored of my day job. So this was, and I can't write, I can't draw, but I can organize things. So I figured, why not put that skill to use?
Now, the first convention in 2012 exceeded expectations and apparently capacity.
Yeah.
That was at the Lloyd Center Doubletree Hotel. Mm-hmm. I read you were hoping for about 750 paying customers that would allow you to break even.
Yep.
But the fire marshal cut you off at 4,100?
4,100 was the capacity we reached finally when they said you can't let anybody else in the building. I needed 750 people until I bought a three-hole punch, and I needed 751 people to break even. So we exceeded that. We exceeded the plan that first year.
Admission wasn't very much at the time.
No, it wasn't very much, but three-hole punch kind of put us over the limit.
How'd you get the word out? That was 2011, so social media wasn't what it is now.
Yeah, I mean, it was really – social media was picking up at that point in time, but I think that for us, being such a strong comics community in Portland, having, you know, people that, I mean, at the time, Mikey was more of a fan, and now he's part of the team. He came to us and said, oh, I want to be involved. What can I do to help promote? He was running a really popular podcast at the time. So we got with him. We got with other like-minded folks around town, and everybody just helped spread the word. You know, a lot of things that show up in Portland really grow kind of organically in this town, which is nice. And then you get to a certain point where we are now, and of course we pay for advertising because we have to, you know, reach the outer markets, you know, the suburbia. But it really just kind of grew organically and naturally, and I think people were just excited.
And that organic and natural growth is just absolutely amazing. I mean, I read you expect about 70,000 attendees this year. And there aren't that many Comic-Cons in the country bigger than Portland's, is there? There's New York, San Diego, Denver, Phoenix, Seattle.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard to quantify the bigger ones. I mean, there's a great one out in Orlando. There's some great ones on the East Coast. I mean, of course, I think we're the best one.
We're the best one.
Yeah, we're definitely the best one. I'm a huge fan of Emerald City still. I'm a huge fan of... you know, I'm even a big fan of San Diego, even though it's kind of massive and too big for me at this point in time. But there's a lot of great events around the country. I think we're on the West Coast. We're probably the third or fourth largest one now because you got WonderCon, you got San Diego, you got Emerald City. Those are all bigger than us right now. I think we'll pass Emerald City, though. That's my goal.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
we'll mention the soccer aspect of it
exactly.
A little later,
it's a rivalry.
Too. One of the events associated with the Comic-Con this year has to do with that. Now, how far ahead do you start planning for each Comic-Con? Like, when are you going to start the process for Comic-Con 2020?
We started planning 2020 and 2018. So
amazing.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So it's been a while now. I am actually budget planning and booking guests now for 20 and 2021.
And that is a good transition because, Mikey, you're the programming director, and you just, event schedule actually would be out this week. You
said yeah, it should be out this today. Week. Yeah.
So this is great timing for us at KBOO. Let's talk about some of the guests and events. First, the local ones.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Portland is a hotbed for the comics business, so publishers and creators. I know you have Oni Press and Dark Horse Comics represented. They're both two of the best known indie publishers of comics and graphic novels, you know, under the DCs and the Marvels. Can you tell us what they'll be offering attendees?
Yeah, Oni is actually going to be doing kind of a... they're going to be working with Greg Rucka for Stumptown, like talking about the comic, because we're going to have that show coming out soon. So they're going to be having a whole showcase on the comic.
And Greg is local.
Yeah, and Greg is local. We have David Walker is going to be talking about his Eisner-nominated comic, Bitter Root. He'll be working with Image on that. We're just going to have so many different local creators that are right here that are, you know, making some pretty big waves, and not just comics, but television and everything like that.
Yeah, I had those two down, David Walker and Greg Rucker, but also Matt Fraction.
Yes.
And his wife, Kelly
Sudikonik,
who's been at previous.
Mm-hmm. Kelly Sudikonik's going to be talking a lot about Pretty Deadly, which is one of her creator-owned books, as well as Matt's going to be talking about, you know, all the great stuff that Matt's doing. They have some TV projects also in the works that I'm sure will be brought up at some point in the conversation.
So kind of this little homegrown comics industry has now become major media with maybe not movies yet, but certainly television with Stumptown and
really it always has since the 80s. It's just now with the success of all the Marvel movies and the DC movies, there's a bigger spotlight on what comics can be in the bigger media spotlight. But, you know, really, this has been where all the great ideas have been coming from for the last two or three decades.
Now, Brian Michael Bendis won't be there this year, but he's been at previous Comic-Cons.
Yes.
And he does work for Marvel?
Working for DC now.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of...
But he was with Marvel for almost two decades. Yeah.
But he's one of the biggest names in comics nationwide, worldwide.
And one of the nicest guys in the industry, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I know he teaches actually a course on comics at Portland State.
I took his class.
Wow.
Yeah.
I read the book.
Yeah.
So. Now, in addition to the local luminaries, you have guests coming from all over the world. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know if you could name a few you're especially looking forward to seeing. I have one first. Weird Al Yankovic will be there, who's not from the world of comics, but he's a very funny guy.
Yeah.
Did you see him this last week?
No, I didn't get a chance. Yeah. Yes, he was at Edgefield. Did you go?
Yeah, I went. Yeah, it was. I have to admit, I've never been to a Weird Al show.
Oh.
And that was one of the most entertaining things that I've ever
seen.
They're
fun.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I went to one with my kids when they were younger. Yeah. It's just perfect.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
We were lucky to have Al 2 years ago, and at that point, he never really had done shows, like many comic conventions or anything like that. And so it was him dipping his foot into this world a little bit, and he loved it. And so we're excited to have him back because, you know, he was a hit for everybody that met him. So now everybody that didn't get the chance is going to get the chance again, which I highly recommend you don't miss it.
Yeah, I think he's the hardest working guy that we've ever had in the celebrity area because he didn't leave his signing station for basically 2 days.
Yeah, only for his panel. Yeah, only for his panel did he really ever leave.
What was his panel on? Was it on song parodies?
No, just him talking about his career.
Yeah. People. So our panels, the way they're structured is it's about 40 to 50 minutes, this kind of free form, and we have Stephanie Strickland. She used to be on air here in town.
Oh, yes.
So she moderates, and what she really does is she keeps the conversation moving. She has a couple of questions that she'll ask to get things going, but then really we give it up to the audience to ask questions because they're the ones who paid to be there to see the celebrity. So we spend the most of the time letting them ask questions and have them answered by the talent on stage.
So the attendees will get a chance not only to see celebrity guests, especially ones they want to see, they're coming to see in the panels, but also there's opportunities at booths. There's signings and photo opportunities.
That's correct.
How did they learn about that?
So obviously on our website, we have all that listed out as far as what guests are coming, what day they're going to be available, autograph schedules, photo op schedules, and also pricing, because you know the celebrities do charge. Because it's really kind of a pay-to-play scenario.
Oh, definitely, so, yeah. And that has nothing to do with you guys.
No, that's, it has nothing to do with us. So yeah. I always just like to tell everybody, but if you want to see a celebrity, or you want to have a chance to talk to a celebrity, you can always go to their Q&A session, which there's no additional charge for that. Everybody's welcome to that. We have a room that's got about 3,000 seats. People sit down, and they can line up and ask, you know, whatever question they have on their mind. We don't pre-screen them. Of course, you know, if it's something that isn't appropriate, it'll probably be asked. Yeah. They probably won't answer.
The shepherd's crook might come up. Yeah.
I'm sure they're used to dealing with that.
They are. They're very good at kind of, you know, navigating those types of things. Mm-hmm. But by and large, it's, you know, it's not. I would say that when people get up there and they're asking questions, and this is just a fun family event for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you see multiple generations. With Weird Al, you'll see probably three generations show up together, you know.
Oh,
grandma,
definitely.
Family,
as a
mom
young
and dad.
Audience.
Yeah, exactly. So we expect a lot of families, so it'll be pretty wholesome.
I mean, not to mention just all the great stuff around the reunions that we're doing this year, too. We're going to have three people from Princess Bride, you know, coming to the show.
Shawn is Carrie Elwes.
Yep. Uh-huh. We have the Goofy movie cast, Bill Farmer and
Pauly Shore, and Jason Wardson.
The Office. You've got at least three actors from The Office, right? Mm-hmm.
You have them coming out to do an audit, you know, check the books.
No, and then, you know, like you mentioned, we have Billy Piper and Christopher Eccleston coming from Doctor Who, you know. So,
by the way, that's his first U.S. appearance ever, Chris Eccleston. This will be the first time he's ever come on U.S. soil for a convention appearance. It'll be at Portland. So it's a pretty big flag we're planting on the convention map.
How'd you get him?
I begged him for 3 years to come.
So it was a long process.
Took about 3 years.
And that's not an exaggeration. No. It's literally been 3 years we've been trying to get him out here.
No, I should mention some of the other guests there. Yeah. Well, Neil Adams from the world of mm-hmm. comics. Mm-hmm. You've got Hercules and the Hulk there. So mm-hmm. Kevin Sorbo and Lou Ferrigno.
Yep. Yep.
We mentioned Carrie Elwes, but also Anthony Michael Hall, mm-hmm. Robert Englund, who mm-hmm. was Freddy Krueger in Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Tim Curry mm-hmm. from Rocky Horror Picture Show. Will Wheaton, who does a lot of Comic Cons.
Yep.
Jason Isaacs, who was in the Harry Potter movies. And then, of course, we mentioned Christopher Eccleston, the big draw this year for Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think out of all those two, you know, I've met Anthony Michael Hall and the Weird Science cast, and they're lovely. So if you're a fan of John Hughes or the 80s films or anything like that, this is going to be a great...
And Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah, Kelly LeBrock will be there. I don't know anybody in the 80s who did not have a crush on Kelly LeBrock.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah.
She's as
lovely today as she was back then.
Yeah.
So I got to ask, since you worked on Chris Eccleston for like 3 years, is there anybody currently on your bucket list that you're working on?
Michael Keaton.
Wow. So Beetlejuice and among other things, Batman movies. Yeah. And,
I'm thinking Mr. Mom and Gung Ho. Those are the movies I like that he was in. But yeah.
He did so many great ones.
He did so many good ones.
Are you in the process then? Have you contacted?
You know, I'm always on a fishing expedition, seeing what I can get caught in the net. But right now, nothing's, you know, I haven't reeled them in yet. But we'll see.
And a lot of it has to do with people's schedules too. You know, people are filming all the time, and our show is sometimes right when they're filming. So sometimes it's just a timing thing. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned it's family friendly.
Absolutely.
You actually have a whole section devoted to younger folks, mm-hmm. Actual kids, as opposed to grown up kids like myself.
Yep.
And that's called Rose City Junior. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Yeah. We noticed when our kids were young that we were going to a lot of conventions and there was nothing for our kids to do because it was really geared towards 25 to 45 year old males, mm-hmm. is what, you know, I found kind of in the late 90s and early 2000s. And so when we started having kids and we decided we wanted to do a Comic-Con, we decided we were going to have an area dedicated to them. First year that we did it, which was in year two, we dedicated about 5,000 square feet, which wasn't a lot, but we didn't have a lot of room at the time. And it's continued to grow. We now use about 30,000 square feet. It's completely programmed by somebody dedicated to children's programming. We work with a lot of youth organizations. We work with the Toy Association, which is a trade show organization for the toy industry. We've partnered with the LeakyCon folks who are putting together Harry Potter programming that's geared towards that age group. So I think all weekend long, you know, the kids are going to have a great time. There's Trackers Earth, which is a local company that puts on summer camps and winter camps, you know, during school breaks. It's coming out and putting on a rock wall and all kinds of like merit badge
activities. Oh, I saw that on the
website. Yeah.
The other thing I saw recently on your Facebook page, it might have been today, you have a Bigfoot scavenger mm-hmm. hunt planned mm-hmm. for the Rose City Juniors people.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's little things like that where once you're in the door, it doesn't cost you anything else to really participate and gain an experience that you may not get someplace else. I mean, so sure, mom and dad are there because they want to see some celebrities, but the kids don't really care about celebrities. So we have to have something for them to do. So we got video gaming, we got retro arcades, we got classic tabletop gaming. You can go to the game library. You and your family can look at a game that you haven't learned how to play yet, and there'll be somebody there to demo it for you. You can take it to a table, learn how to play it, and decide, oh, I like this game. Maybe I'll buy it from Amazon. Maybe I'll buy from a retailer out there on the show floor.
And when it comes to programming, we have all kinds of things for every single type of person. So we're having a whole track that's dedicated to people who are into tabletop and role-playing games, cosplay, education, if you're looking to learn more about just actual professional educators from universities coming and talking about studying in comics. Whatever you're there for, you're going to find something.
And I did mention a little earlier about the soccer connection.
Yeah, yeah.
You actually have Portland Thorns Night, Rose City Comic Con Night at the Thorns game.
Yep.
The Wednesday right before.
Yeah, that's right. And it's the rematch of the championship game from last year.
North Carolina
against the Thorns. We're going to beat them. So it's going to be a great night.
There's no question.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, and with Women's World Cup, I mean, we have some of the top players in Women's World Cup here in Portland. It's a great time.
Tobin Heath.
Oh, yeah.
Lindsay Horan.
Yep. Uh-huh. It's going to be a great night for families to come out, especially anybody who's coming in from out of town that maybe is getting here a couple days early, even exhibitors and artists. They'll have an opportunity to hang out and relax before the show weekend, you know, which can get pretty busy for them. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good time. Hopefully it's not raining, but it doesn't really matter because soccer gets played in the rain, so it'll be fun.
And a lot of Providence Park is covered. I should mention that.
Yeah, these days.
My wife and I are actually season ticket holders for the Timbers. So.
Oh, yeah. Me too. All right. Yeah.
Now, I should mention that particular ticket package also includes an exclusive Comic-Con and Thorns t-shirt, which is going to be a collector's item, I'm sure.
Yeah,
you'll see them on eBay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe, yeah. We're only producing, 500 shirts because basically we're selling 500 tickets right now, and so those shirts are I think they're great. They're designed by one of the artists who'll be in our artist alley too, so you can always bring the shirt in and get it signed by Levi Hastings, who also did our mascot. So
Well, I actually have more questions, but we're kind of out of time.
No
worries. There's just so much about this incredible event, and it is massive, it's huge, but it's family-friendly, as you mentioned. It's for everybody, kids and kids of all ages, as they used to say at the circus. Ron and Mikey, I know it's a very busy time for you with Comic-Con coming up in a few weeks, so many thanks to taking time out and joining us at KBOO this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Ron Brister, founder and director, and Mikey Nielsen, programming director of Rose City Comic-Con. Rose City Comic-Con takes place this year from Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland, not too far from KBOO. You can find out all the details and how to get your tickets on their website, rosecitycomiccon.com, and on Facebook under, of course, Rose City Comic-Con. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News in Depth.